face first. Jesus, you can have, amen, the move of the Holy Ghost like we had today. It was so powerful. Amen. It was so great. You know what? It's not limited to, I hear one service. We had a blowout service today. You know what? If we want, if we decide, even if maybe nobody else feels it, I can have a blowout service every time I come to the house of God. Jumping up and down and running. It's not all just about that. It's about the move of God.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. That's what it's about. All about the move of God. I appreciate being here today and the opportunity to present the gospel.
Thank you.
Amen. From this pulpit. That's what it's about. Amen. It's not about, you know, I mean, there's some folks, I was reading the scripture up here with the, I forget the fellow's name, but Urshan, and great things this man said. And I've heard some really good preaching right in this place. And I've heard it in a lot of other places. And it's wonderful and good and anointed.
Thank you.
But it's still His Word.
His Word.
Not our.
That's right. His Word.
It's His. Hallelujah. I appreciate everybody being here today. I sure hope that I can put an exclamation point on this service. Because, man, I'll tell you what. It's hard to get up here, Brother Nick, when you have a move like that, and you're supposed to, amen, the Spirit of God is supposed to move. And I believe it will if we want it to. Amen.
Yes.
Can you lift your hands?
Yes, thank you, Lord. Touch us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. We turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs.
Lord. Chapter 9,
verses 8 through 10. Amen. Proverbs chapter 9, 8 through 10 says this: reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee.
Yes.
Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Yes.
Amen. When you think about it, reprove a scorner. Amen. He has a choice to make when you reprove him.
Yeah.
I have a choice to make when God, amen, reproves me.
Yeah.
We got a choice to make. We can choose to listen and obey and be blessed. Or we can choose to run from the truth. Amen. And meet some trouble. I want to preach a message. What side of fear do you choose?
Right.
Yeah,
really.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for truth. Touch us in this place today. Your word is already anointed, Lord, but let it be anointed when it gets into our hearts and our spirits. That our spirit will mix with faith in the name of Jesus at the hearing of your word. That it may grow and increase. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name.
And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Amen. You know, fear has all kinds of facets with it.
Yes, yes.
Fear can be used to control people.
Yes.
Amen. It's been, people have been controlled, amen, by fear since the beginning of time.
Yes.
Amen. But I'm not here to speak about control. I'm not here to tell you, amen, and try to preach a message of fear that you might, amen, be afraid and obey some kind of thing in God because you're afraid. Amen. I'd love it if we would just obey God and love God because He's God. Amen. Amen. So we read, reprove not a scorner. We go, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There's another scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God hath not given us, amen, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, through fear, we can live for God and we can be corrected. But He said He has not given us the spirit of fear. I'm here to tell you that there are a couple facets of fear, and I want to talk about those today.
Yes.
Amen. When God speaks to us, we can either ignore it or we can act upon it.
Yes.
We can say, yes, Lord, I see it, even if it rubs us the wrong way sometimes. We might say, not me, that's not for me. And you know and I know when it happens, it is for us. Right. We can ignore it, we can be like the squirm, or we can receive it and be made better.
Yes.
Fear defined is a strong emotion, afraid of someone, something that's likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know I was in, when I was in school, there were bullies.
Right.
I suppose there's bullies in all kinds of schools. Guys that were bigger than you, guys that were more cockier than you,
right.
Guys that you saw punch somebody even. There was bullies and you stayed away from them because you had fear.
Right.
Some of you said, I didn't. Well, I was a small man, boy, whatever. Amen. You might fear a man with a gun or a man with a knife. I would say you're pretty smart if you have a little concern when you see that.
All right.
You might fear a medical diagnosis.
Come on.
Amen. You might have gotten sick and you went to the doctor and they did all these tests and all these things. And you know, you're just a little person in the midst of all this medical stuff. And all of a sudden, you got an appointment and they want to tell you what the diagnosis is.
Right.
Sometimes we read about it on Google and we say, God, it could be this. It could be that.
Right.
Sometimes we refer to the worst thing.
Right.
And we're afraid sometimes.
Right.
Even afraid to the point where they give us a lesser diagnosis and it isn't so great that we're happy for it.
Right. Yes.
You might have seen many times in court that I've been around these things and be in there and somebody goes to trial. They commit a crime, they get arrested, and they're in jail, and they go to trial, and there's a jury. Or else they give themselves up to the judge to give them, amen, just without a jury, for him to give them a sentence. And the day finally comes, and they got to stand before the judge. And it could be a law, you know, they got the minimum to the most, and you got to stand there. And I suppose you could have some fear of what our sentence is going to be.
Yes.
Amen. I've read a lot of books about, I don't know why, but I see the parallel between war and living for God. And the Bible has many parallels about it too. The weapons of our warfare and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we read in the Old Testament all kinds of things to do with war. The mighty men of valor. But I see a parallel, amen, that brings out a character that we might have because of fear.
Right.
Well, I've read in the Pacific War, these people would be in, the Americans would be in foxholes, and as there were those foxholes, it was dark, and you couldn't see anything. They told them, be quiet, because the enemy sneaks around in the night. Amen. And he will hear you, and he'll get in your foxhole. Amen. And kill you. How paralyzing fear can be.
Right.
I think about me in there going, God, I'd be scared to death. Every noise that I heard would have to be the enemy.
Right.
My wife and I went to Yellowstone one time years ago and camped out. And there's all these warnings, mainly about buffalo, don't go near them. But about grizzly bear.
Yes.
We're laying in that tent freezing to death. And every crack of a leaf was a grizzly bear. I laid there and I thought, oh God, in a tent, you're not going to stop a grizzly bear. Oh!
No.
But I was trying to be the man, you know.
Well.
But fear, it paralyzes you. It's real.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid. I bet you there's a time when you could be.
Right.
Fear. Defined by the Bible in Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
And the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Understanding. Yes.
Amen. Fear in the Bible is awareness. It's not necessarily, amen, shaking in your shoes. It's awareness.
Yes.
Or a rhythm or a realization of the awe and respect for God.
Yes.
Amen. You can choose. Amen. You can choose. Amen. When fear comes upon you for the realization of the power and might of God. Amen. You can choose consequences or blessings.
Yes.
I was praying this morning in the Florida room. And while I was in there, I think about my friend, and all his children are backslidden. And they're getting up at age 50 and over 50, and they got little kids. And I pray because these children, amen, they could have been living for God. They could have done the right things, but they're not. And they're troubled, and they're teenagers now. And I pray, I say, God, they didn't ask for none of this.
Yes.
And I pray that his daughter Rachel, you don't know her, but I pray, God, let her feel some fear.
Yes.
Let her feel, because the fear of God is taking us somewhere.
Yes.
It's not to condemn you, it's not to beat you up, it's to lead you somewhere.
Yes.
I said, God, let her feel darkness. Let her feel fear. So she will reach out and reach for your hand one more time.
Yes,
this serious business living for God.
Yeah.
It's not trying in church.
Yes,
smiling and shaking hands.
Yes,
worshiping the Lord. We're talking about eternity.
Jesus.
And I'm not talking about being afraid, but I'm talking when you pray for people. Amen. They need to get a hold of God.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Shine that light.
Hallelujah, Jesus. There was a man that we all know, Noah, Hebrews 11:7. It says that he was moved by fear to build an ark. I don't believe it was God said, you build that ark, boy, or I'm going to kill you.
Right.
I believe he understood the awesomeness and the power of God, and that God only meant good
Thank
for him.
Lord.
And he warned him. He warned him, build an ark because I'm going to destroy this world.
Yes.
And so he built an ark for the saving of his family, young men, and whoever has families and grandparents. Amen. Live for God. Move with fear. Do the will of God for your grandkids, for your children. Because, amen, there's a time coming when it's going to get darker and darker.
Yeah,
maybe not in the end of time, but in life there's darkness sometimes. And if you will stop feeling the Holy Ghost, if you will stand for God and be moved with God, if you move with the fear of God, you'll be all right. Amen. You wonder why sometimes everybody makes choices. Even children, after you raise them. But you wonder sometimes why, what are they thinking? How selfish are they? When they quit living for God before their children even can get to a place to make choices, and they don't know any better.
Oh,
they just go off. You just pray that God will touch them.
Yeah.
Right.
Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and of good courage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed or worried. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's the power and the awesomeness of God. In fear, he will keep you. Like a good shepherd with his rod and his staff, he will keep you. He'll watch after you. He'll nudge you back. Sometimes that involves a little fear. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yes.
We're living for God.
Right.
In realization,
right.
We do His will.
Yes.
It'll all be all right. Can you lift your hands?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Yes.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Yes.
Long as I walk in the shadow of God, I'm all right.
Yes.
Psalm 34:4 said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
Yes.
See, there's two kinds of fears.
Right.
There's the fear the enemy, amen, would put on you. And there's the fear when we are far too far away from God that we fear, I need to get back.
Right.
Then there's the fear the Lord puts down so that we, amen, can stand next to Him and not be afraid.
Right.
The choice of what side of fear is our choice. We choose it. Cain, Abel's brother, was, obviously we know the story, but Cain, amen, him and Abel brought forth the sacrifice. And the Lord received Abel's sacrifice and didn't receive Cain's sacrifice. Cain was mad. He had a root of bitterness. How many know that bitterness is one of the major tools the enemy will use to destroy your faith, to alienate you from the body of Christ, and alienate you from the presence of the Lord? It occupies your mind. It's anger.
Yes.
So, Lord, actually, try to put a little fear in Cain. He said, look, why are you upset? If you'll do right, everything will be all right. He had a choice to make.
Yes, you'll be accepted.
He said, but if not, sin lies at the door.
Yes.
You know what? You need to be afraid of that. Can you lift your hands?
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Judas Iscariot.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
He ran all the stop signs. He ran all the red lights. He ran all the cone zones. He ran it all. And I know that God, amen,
Jesus,
as in His teachings, made him feel something, but he rejected it. He chose his own way.
Yes.
And he received unto himself the just recompense, a reward. Another one is named Korah. When they were with Moses, Korah was a family of renown. Korah was probably a good man. He was ahead of a certain group of folks. He was a spiritual leader. And he got bitter. He got envious, I would have guessed. And Moses was moved, a very meek man, and God was moving through him. And Korah came to him one day and said, Moses, you take too much upon you.
Yes.
And Moses, being a meek man, even said, no, Korah, you take too much upon you. Tomorrow at this time, we'll see who God is for.
Yes.
Wouldn't that put fear in you? Wouldn't you start thinking?
Yes.
I wonder if I spoke too soon. I wonder, what I'm leading all these people here, and I wonder what's going to happen. They're going to follow me and all these things. And he showed up, and he made the wrong choice. And he stood, amen, and was the earth swallowed him up.
Yes, yes.
All of them. He had made the wrong choice.
Yes.
Amen. The right choice, the right side of fear, is what we need to choose.
Yes.
On the day of Pentecost, they were sitting there, and Peter stood up with the rest of the apostles, and he told them what they'd done. You killed the Lord of glory. You crucified Jesus.
Right.
They had a choice to make. Brother Texter?
Yes.
Their choice was, do I hear what he said? Or do I say no? The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts.
Yes.
That's the fear of God I'm talking about. They were pricked in their hearts. And they were even afraid because he was moving them. And they were afraid and they said, oh God, what must we do? That's the question we need to ask. What must I do to be saved? I remember when somebody spoke to me, it was Mark 16:16. And that's a little bit of a rough scripture. And it said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Yes.
He that believeth not shall be dead. I heard that.
Right.
And it moved me.
Yes.
It made me think. I had a choice to make.
Right.
Do I believe that? Do I feel the fear of the Lord? Do I feel the necessity to obey God? Am I able to be touched? I wonder sometimes.
Yes.
We might ask ourselves, I might ask, am I still able to be touched? To be moved of God?
Yes.
I was in service a while back, not here, wasn't even in this state. And I watched a man preach. And I saw him, you know, being a preacher myself, I'm not trying to be an analyzer, but he was preaching. I mean, he was really trying. He wasn't trying to do all the antics and all the, you know, the Superman laser vision stuff and all that. That's fine, that's fine. If the Lord's moving you, but this man was preaching his heart.
Right.
And I'm sitting with a bunch of people, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to, because you got to press in, you know.
Right.
That would just happen. They can move me, Lord. I'm not a puppet.
Yes.
And I looked and I seen the whole side of the church. Nice people.
dress right, just sit and look at them. I'm not being a critic, I saw that.
Yes.
And I kind of looked down, and it was that way. There's just some young folks and stuff in the front jumping around and stuff. And then this guy was sweating, and they come up and wiped his face. I said, Lord, to myself, I said, Lord, what's going on here? What needs to be done? What needs to happen? And he said to me, it's the anointing. And you know, it isn't just the anointing of the man up here.
Right.
You see, the anointing comes out to the people, and the people are anointed. That's why he says, don't sit on the preacher. I know it's humorous, but you know what? We can sit on the preacher. It's not all about preachers. It's about the anointing. Thank God for it. It goes out. You get it. You press back. The Holy Ghost goes. I don't give it. I don't give it. The Spirit of God goes. It's been powerful.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
David,
thank 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 13. I'm just going to read it. You know what happened with David? David, amen, got to be too big for his overhauls.
Right.
They were all out fighting. He thought, I don't have to fight. I'm a king. I can stay home and just do this and that.
Take it easy.
Right. And he started looking, and I don't believe that was the first time he looked around. That was a good viewpoint where he was at.
Yes, it was, yes.
And I suppose that Bathsheba wasn't too hard on the eyes.
Yes.
And he saw her maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times. And I believe it happens this way. He felt maybe the first time conviction.
He felt
maybe like, God, I feel it now, just now.
Yes.
Not for looking at the sheep, but the word conviction, I felt it.
Yes.
And maybe he saw that and he goes, oh, he turned.
He
walked away. He said, no, I can't do that.
Right.
And he looked again, and it got easier and easier, and it will.
Yes.
Sin.
Yes.
Amen. If you let it take it, it'll take you farther than you want to go.
Yes, yes it will.
You know why I can say all that stuff?
Yeah,
about sin taking you farther you want to go and all that? Because I'm just a man and I've experienced a lot. You might hear some people act like they walked on water all their life.
Right.
And float around on cloud nine.
No.
But you know what? I know it's true.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Save us.
Maybe the third time, maybe he finally said, I can't handle it anymore.
Yes.
Go get her.
Right, yes.
And it got worse. I'm telling you, you just keep entertaining sin. It gets worse and worse, and all of a sudden you're in a place you wish you weren't at.
That's right.
And a choice you're making you don't want to make, and you make a choice to kill a man, have him killed, and have his wife.
Yes.
Right.
But through all that, Nathan the prophet came.
Yes, he did.
And Nathan gave him a little parable-like thing.
Yes.
Right.
He talked about a man that had a sheep.
Yes.
A little lamb that he raised. I believe this is the one he raised all his life as a pet.
Yes.
And the other man had his own sheep and took that sheep, that lamb, and took it to feed his friends. It says here, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. The prophet went to great lengths to make this man fear.
Yes.
And there came a traveler, and David don't know what's going on right now.
Yes.
He thinks this is real. There came a traveler, amen, unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, and took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him.
Right.
And David's anger was greatly kindled.
Yes.
You
back. How hypocritical, huh? How far we can go.
Yes.
And the man, he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, you son the Lord.
Yes.
The man hath done this thing shall surely die.
Yes.
And he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art that man.
Yes, it's you. Yes, it's you.
And he goes on, thus saith the Lord, King of Israel. And he told him all these things. He killed Uriah. And he had a choice. His choice was kill Nathan, shut up, rebel against the things of God, refuse to feel the conviction, refuse to feel the fear.
Yes.
But David said, I'm the man.
Yes.
You're right. I messed up. He made the right choice.
Yes.
David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die.
Yes.
Can we lift our hands? That's
the
fear of God. It's drawing you. It's correcting you. It's moving you. His rod and his staff. Amen. We might have consequences, but we'll still be saved. David made the right choice. He yielded to the fear that Nathan put out there. Peter rejected the Lord, denied him, ran off and wept bitterly, the Bible says in one scripture. He looked in the face of Jesus and I've taken God. I have wept at the altar. I have cried because I failed so bad. How about you?
Yes, yes.
But he met me then. Because of fear, I said, God, have mercy on me. And he met me right here. Right here, he met me. That's God drawing us. That's what we talk about the altar. That's what he wants. I'll be all right as soon as I touch Calvary. Peter yielded to the fear when the Lord said, go tell the disciples and Peter. He could have said, he definitely don't want me.
Yes.
But he said, my name? I'm just using my imagination. He said, me?
Yes.
He made the right choice.
Yes.
I want to ask you something. Are we able to yield to conviction? I was watching them people. That's what came to me. If we don't allow ourselves, if we don't provoke ourselves, if we don't want to hear from God, I'm going to tell you a story I probably already told you. Forgive me, old men do that. But it's perfect. It's about me. My wife says, you're too transparent.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I'm trying to tell you, I'm just like you.
Right.
Because God gave me another job.
Yes.
I was in a circumstance.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I was watching certain things that I didn't like. And it wasn't directed to me. It was directed to other people. And we're protective of our own family. I didn't like the idea. My wife don't wear a halo, but she doesn't hurt anybody.
Right. Yes.
So I began to get bitter.
Right.
But the thing is, I didn't even know it.
Right.
Yes. I didn't even know it. I still shaking hands and looking at people. And so don't look at me when I shake your hand. I wonder if he's bitter, don't you?
Yes.
But I didn't even know it. I had a choice. This man came and preached. Younger man. And I figured out later why this man was so efficient at what he was doing.
Right.
Because he backslid for a number of years. And someone might hold it against him, but I hold it. Not that you have to, but he understood a few things.
Yes.
He began to preach on a story, a message. People don't. Why do you tell stories? Because they tend, like Jesus did, told a lot of stories.
Right.
And he started preaching
about Cain in a room of bitterness.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, conviction came upon me.
Oh,
I didn't even know it. Brother Vince, I didn't know. I said, boom.
Yes.
I could have said, not me. He can't be talking to me.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I'm a former pastor.
Yes. Preacher.
Yeah, I'm a preacher.
Yes,
I'm
Lord.
But he spoke to me. I'll never forget it. And I said to my wife, and I know I probably told this, forgive me, but it fits. And I said, he's talking to me. I had a choice to make. We have a choice.
Yes.
Are we able to be convicted?
Right.
Are we able to hear the word of God and own up?
Oh.
Or are we so cold and callous that we don't feel nothing? Saying you are, I'm saying people get that way.
Yeah.
And God can't touch them. He can't even move with fear. They reject the fear.
Right.
And he can't help them.
Right.
Until they change their mind.
Yes, that's right.
And he preached and I got it.
Oh.
And I go, God. Oh, I felt like I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to fall flat on, I've done that before, flat on my face. Get as low as I could get, like machine guns are shooting over me or something. I just said, oh, God. And I cried out, and I saw the man as he's walking down the aisle. You wonder why we walk. I don't know. He's walking down the aisle, and I looked. I was staring at him, but he didn't look at me. He didn't know I was staring at him, Brother Phil. And I stared at him. I said, look at me, I said to myself.
Yes.
Tell me more. I've been times where I rejected it too.
Yes.
But I said, and I looked at it, he didn't look at me. And I said, Lord, what should I do? What can I do? I'm pricked in my heart.
Yes.
And he said, go to the altar.
Yes.
So I did.
Yes, Lord.
God healed me. All right.
Thank you.
That time, I made the right choice.
Yes.
Are we able to yield to conviction? You got to ask yourself
yes.
that. When I hear the preaching, is it just a message? Is it, are we able to? I went to these places where I didn't agree, but I said, I'm going to get something out of it. I did.
Right.
Yes.
The Word of God is the Word of God, no matter who. Truth is truth, no matter who says it.
Yes.
Right.
But are we able to allow God in the fear of the Lord to speak to our hearts? I don't mean in a fear where he's waiting to bash you on the head with a sledgehammer.
Right.
I mean, he loves you and he's pulling for you. And he knows right. how to push you around with that rod and that staff. He knows, hey man, get away from that hot stove.
Yeah.
Get away, you're going to burn your hands.
Right.
And he gets louder and louder. And you get close and take that rod and jerk you, or that staff and jerk you away. It's a stop that. Some people yell all the time, but sometimes yelling's okay. To your kids.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Not like my dad. He didn't know any other language.
Oh,
yell.
Yeah.
And if there wasn't curse words, he wouldn't have had a vocabulary. But that was my dad.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Don't feel sorry for me. We made it.
Yes, we made it.
I've heard a lot worse.
Yes.
But are we able, I'll say it again, to yield to conviction? Can we feel? Are we able to open up? Can we be touched, moved by what? The anointing of God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All you got to say is, Lord, talk
yes.
to me.
Yes.
I need you, Lord.
Yes.
I need to feel your presence. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I made the right decision that
yes.
time.
Yes. yes.
You know what convicted means? It means proven or declared guilty.
Yes.
That's what David did. I'm guilty.
I'm guilty, yes.
That's what Cain would do. Amen. Proven or declared guilty, need to confess to God. You know what God does? He says, Warning, and I feel fear. I feel like I should say, warning, what's going on? I feel, amen, anticipation of something, amen. Warning, don't
get near that because I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Lost. Yeah. Amen. I don't want to be calloused. I don't want to be indifferent. I don't want to have apathy. I don't want to be hard.
Right.
I want to be a tender plant that God can speak to. Can you lift your hands? Thank the Lord.
Oh, Jesus, we need you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Please don't let me be calloused and can't feel the fear of the Lord when He is correcting me or warning me. I got another kind of fear. The devil uses fear to afflict us and to torment us. That's not the fear of God. That's the fear the devil uses to control you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll keep you from joy. He'll keep you from life. He'll keep you from peace. He'll keep you from joy, abundant joy in God. He'll wear you out, like the brother said. He will wear you out so you'll go, I quit. And you start. You can quit while you're still in church for the middle.
Yes.
You can still be in church and smile sometimes.
Right.
You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I see many a time when the wife is in church. You go to, I'm not telling you, but if you're ever in Branson during the gospel week or something, you'll see, you'd be surprised how many people are there from Pentecostal churches.
Yeah.
And you can pick them out any day of the week, which one goes to church and which one don't.
Right.
Yes.
Well, pretty good anyway. I don't want to be that person.
Right. Yeah.
I want to be involved with the things of God.
Oh, yeah.
And love God with all my heart.
Yes.
But he'll wear you out, get you to quit, and you just go through the
motions. Yes.
But here, I'd like to tell you, amen, when that happens to you, sometimes you don't have much strength. Has anybody ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Your strength is weakened because of circumstances. You went through things worse than I've ever went through. I'm thinking of Sister Van Slyke.
Oh,
amen.
Yeah.
We ate dinner with them, and she's got a good spirit about her, but she went the other day for some kind of get more news, and she told me her numbers, and I don't understand all the numbers, but I understand what normal was and what hers was.
Right. Yes.
I know that can wear you out. I know that can hinder you. I know that can affect you. But somehow, some way, by faith, you got to look in the eyes of this fear. Look in the eyes of the enemy who's afflicted you. Like I preached before, look him right in the eye, eyeball to eyeball. Somebody's going to blink and say, nuts.
That's right.
I will not bow down to you.
No.
I will not, no matter what happens to me. And even if he doesn't save me or heal me, I still won't bow down to you. Clap your hands if you will. I refuse you to get to be kind and say, come on, come back to hell. That's what you got to do.
Jesus. Thank you.
He likes to tell you don't have any hope. I was telling Brother Hunt, I messed up that. I thought it was fear and it's weak, but I still used it anyhow. Revelation 5:4-5 said there was a strong angel holding the scroll or whatever the. And they said, there's no man able, not under the earth, above the earth. Nobody's able to open it up.
Right.
And he wept much. And you know why he wept? Because he was afraid that there wouldn't be able to open it up. But instead, I'm telling you, we win. He said, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. He's our God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm hurrying on.
Oh, glory.
Fear can bring out the best in us.
Yes, it can.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like to feel that.
Right.
I don't want to feel it.
No.
Sister just got some surgery.
Right.
I don't know. She's pretty tough, but I suppose she had a little bit of thinking. I wonder what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
I've had surgeries before. The guy tells me, 40% of these Go back to, oh, thank you. Go back to what it was before.
Yes.
You know, Carmen died of the same surgery I had from complications from it. And I'm going, oh, God.
Thank you.
He's going to go in my stomach and move my stomach back down here and put some fat. What in the world? I'm not some car.
Right.
So I go in there. I'm afraid.
Yeah, right.
I bet my eyes were big until they put me out.
Yes. Jesus.
My wife saw me. They had me on the sheet. I was asleep. And they moved me from the sheet to the bed. And when they did,
yes.
That's what I did.
Nice.
I was apprehensive for the rest of the time I was in there. Mm-hmm. Amen. Fear can bring out the best in us, though.
Yes.
Amen. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. You get feeling, I'm so tired of the same old sin. I'm so tired of the same old voice of the enemy telling me I can't and that I'm useless and that I can't make it. Hallelujah. Telling me you failed so many times. Why do you even try? So sick and tired. Finally, you get up enough gumption and you say, devil, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Yeah.
And you fight back.
Right.
Psalm 107:13 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of all their distress. That's our God.
Yeah.
Amen. You can go from a zero. I just thought that was slick, brother. One here.
Yeah.
Zero to a hero. I suppose you probably preached that one time before. He has the best titles.
Yeah.
They always stick in my head. That's what it's all about. You can go from a zero to a hero because you look at the enemy when he's lying to you,
yes,
when he's putting fear with you,
right,
and you say, I'm going to live for God anyhow,
yeah,
anyhow, anyhow. I don't feel the strength to do it, but by His Word, by the preaching, by what I felt in the Holy Ghost,
Holy
I'm
going
to live for God. Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to stand and I'm going to look right in the eye. Get ready, behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you, what will your reaction be to fear? What will your reaction be to fear? Will it be yes or no? That will be your choice. Will you walk on the water?
Come on.
Or you stay in the boat?
Yeah.
I know I'm telling another story. But there was a battle in Vietnam War. The very first battle that America fought against the Vietnamese regulars. I looked up how you say it. It's Yen Rain Valley. Colonel Hal Moore. They were the cavalry. What a man. He says, I'll be the first one off and the last one to leave. I will leave no one behind. I go, God, that sounds like what Jesus might say.
Yes.
So they landed, and there was 300 of them or something, but they landed smack dab in the middle of thousands of Vietnamese. They didn't even know it. And they fought, and I was afraid just reading, and they're laying in the grass, they're coming in human waves, and they're shooting, and people are dying, and they're dragging them off, and even the helicopters can't land because of the bullets, and oh God, what a fearful thing! In the confusion of war, there's blood, and there's smoke, and confusion. And all of a sudden, it was so bad, it'll bring the best out of you. He said, broken arrow. Which means it's the last resort.
Right.
And that means bomb even our place. And they came through with napalm and they were blowing stuff up and some of their men got burned up. What a stinking mess. And at the end of the whole thing, before it was ended, they were on a getting ready. And they were always being attacked. And they were ready. And he said, this is to bring the best out of you. This is what we need to do, even in the face of possible thinking we're going to be defeated. He says, fix bayonets. Woo! The devil thinks he's got you, brother. He's got you. You're done. I'm telling you, you're done. And you look at him, you say, kickspan that.
Right.
They attack and annihilate. I'm not all for killing folks, but I'm just telling you a story about, they said, fix bayonets. That's what we need to do.
Right.
We need to be brave in Him. We need to trust Him, not us. So, somebody come to the music. We can hide from Goliath. You know, there's a reason why they portrayed David as he was. He's not some big muscle man. Just a man.
Right.
And even they tried to make him less than impressive. But he didn't hide from Goliath.
Right.
He didn't stand.
Right.
But he ran.
Yes.
We must choose what side of fear we're on. I'm asking you, the main question is, are we able to be touched? Are we able to be moved of God? Are we able to feel the presence of God? Are we able to, amen, when He's correcting us, when He's speaking to us, when He's drawing us, are we able to respond? I'm asking you today, I don't know where you're at, I don't know what you think, but I'm asking you today, if you'd ask yourself that question, you'd ask the Lord, Lord, let me be sensitive. Let me be sensitive to the Spirit. Let me hear your voice when you're speaking to me. Because I already know that you have mind. The things I need in mind, the things I want. You know ahead of time. You're trying to save me from some troubles. I'm asking you, can you be moved? Can you be touched? Lord, don't let me be lost.